I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase.
I am officially at the age where, when I go outside at night now, I will wear long sleeves and long pants even if it's 95 degrees.
What? Because of mosquito bites?
Yeah,
because
I can't get eaten up anymore.
Just put bug spray on.
Doesn't work.
What do you mean doesn't work?
I mean, bug spray does not work.
I mean, it might not be 100%,
but it definitely works. Is the biggest lie ever. It does not work.
It's a conspiracy, man!
You're claiming the entire bug spray industry.
Yes.
Is false.
I'm saying to you that I am immune to bug spray. Doesn't work.
The tiki torches or scams.
Might as well be all these lessons you're trying to get sold for golf on Instagram. All these training tools. Bug spray. Lie.
They're feeding us a bunch of lies, man.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills. WGR Sports Radio 550.
Hey, everybody. Happy Thursday, Jeremy and Joe. I was just in my web browser kind of reorganizing tabs that I need to organize.
How many you have open?
Fantasy football season is what I mean. Like, I'm saving the folder where when it comes time to, all right, I got some time to dip into fantasy football.
Yeah.
Click down to, you know, our League of Show Ups and Dreams Dynasty. My family dynasty, my street dynasty. All right, that's three.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, the guillotine's really where you start to explode. Because the guillotine, someone offers you a spot in a guillotine, it's like, yeah, you know, I could do another one of those. And Joe, what I'm discovering...
Well, because you might only be doing it for a couple weeks, for all you know.
True.
Yeah.
What I've discovered is that I'm up to 9 leagues.
Wow, that's my number. You've reached 9. How does it feel?
I'm up to 9.
I was at 18 at one point. I had to cut back.
I'm trying to see if, like, I have one in here twice and I don't realize it.
9 leagues.
Dynasty, dynasty, dynasty. Guillotine, guillotine, guillotine.
Okay.
Guillotine.
Okay.
That's 4 guillotines.
So we only have 2, like, regular redraft
One
leagues.
Redraft.
One redraft.
And the vampire.
So you have 1 standard redraft league.
Yeah.
Out of 9.
Did I ever tell you about the idea I saw somebody had for the Thanos League?
No, I don't think so. The Thanos League sounds like it could be awesome, though, knowing no idea what it is.
The Thanos League. Did you send it to me, Josh?
No, but I've seen it. It looks like an amazing idea.
I'm going to guess it's if you are, like, you know, you got to get the stones. So you win your first 5 games, you're 5-0, you get to kick somebody out.
And that's not bad for Thanos. It's some version
of... Or you kick out half the league, I guess, would be...
Closer to that. I think it's that there's a randomizer and half the players, post-draft, half the players are eliminated.
players?
Yes.
Half the people in the league?
No.
Like the players...
NFL players are gone.
It's just like a random selection of every player, rostered or not.
So you draft Ja'Marr Chase and, like, snap, he's gone.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Plan accordingly.
I mean... That is truly cruel, that type of league. And
right.
I also don't know how you would achieve getting it, but
I don't know.
You could.
I didn't exactly read a full write-up of it, but someone just kind of wrote a very quick tweet about it. It was either that or it was each week, half of your lineup, same thing, snap, is gone.
Mm-hmm.
Not like the players out of the league for the entire season. That seems less fun. But this week, ready? Let's randomize it. Okay, you've lost these 5 players. Their scores do not count. Snap.
Mm.
So... I don't know. I'm not in a Thanos league yet, but I am in 9 leagues, and I also have asked my wife to have her league that she's in transfer the ownership of her team over to my email so I don't have to log in and change her lineup for her when she texts me and says, is my lineup set? Like, I'll just go ahead and take care of that.
Yeah, just let me.
You know, households, it's what we do. We split responsibilities, and I am the runner of the 10 fantasy leagues.
Yeah.
9. How many commissionerships do I have?
We're not in the offer sheet league anymore. Was an offer sheet league once upon a time.
The offer sheet league had a lot of potential. It had potential.
Really tough to execute.
Yes. Though.
Everybody was in an Empire League?
No. And
those are really not anything crazy. There's nothing really different about the season other than if you win 2 years in a row, you get the Empire pot. So that could be like a 20-year process
right
before it sees
half the money that is in the pot stays for someone to win
for an Empire pot that grows and grows and grows until somebody wins back-to-back.
Yep.
Which then in turn, if you've won, the previous champion will be rooted against like no other you've ever seen. Right, I am in a hockey league that does that.
I'd worry about collusion there and the potential for alliances. I'd be worried about that.
Well, is it collusion? Like, so I am in a fantasy hockey league that has this rule, and there was like the year I won, the next year, is it collusion or would this be expected that, you know, the teams that are bad, we're about to go, you know, we're still on our way to the playoffs. I know, like, none of these guys are trading with me. Like, they're going to trade their guy. What if they have the option and it's close, what are they going to do? They're going to send their good player to one of the other teams.
Yeah, that's collusion.
That's collusion? That'd be like not trading with the Chiefs in the NFL.
Yeah. If every team decided we can't do it. Yeah,
well, someone could. Someone could. They just, you know. They're more likely, like, hey, you're on your way to the second championship in a row. He's offering the same thing. So unless you beat it, like, I'm taking his offer.
Right, but you would have a vested interest to not trade with that person because they're going
to help them.
Because they're going to win a pot that you could still win
right,
in the future.
That's right. It's over if you – and the league starts over if
right,
you
right.
– This if is you, if you win it.
This scenario comes up where is this collusion this scenario comes up in Settlers of Catan, which is a big, you know, the Bills play this game a lot.
Yeah.
Allen and Spencer Brown. Have you played Catan?
I've never played it.
You don't know Catan?
No.
Catan's the same kind of situation where someone looks like they're in position to win. You really cannot play Catan without trading supplies back and forth. It's very difficult to do. So, whatever. Like, you have it where it's don't trade with him, don't trade with her.
Yeah.
They're about to win. And sometimes that comes up. Hmm. Anyway. 803-0550. Good morning. Happy Thursday. Big show today. Lots going on.
It's a big day.
It's a big day.
And it's a big day after 10 o'clock.
Yeah. Hilariously, as expected, the NFL will announce, will reveal all the rivalries jerseys at 10 o'clock today. 10 o'clock!
Yep.
I didn't know we were a target of the league and Nike. So thank you for that. 10 o'clock. So we're going to stay on with Sal for 5 minutes. I told my wife, I'm like, I've stayed late tomorrow at work. Why? I have to say on the radio
Bills.
Whether or not I think a jersey is cool.
Right.
That's pretty much it.
And they did a good job of no leaks. I have no idea.
There's a leak of Miami.
Oh,
which
really?
I don't know if it's real or not, and I can't decide what to do with it.
All right, let's see here. I'm
the
excited.
Dolphins.
Miami Vice?
It's just a black jersey with some bright numbers. It doesn't make sense to me. It's got the area code on the helmet on the front of it.
Uh-huh.
Nothing about that says any version of this represents the area, blah, 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 blah. I don't think those are them. I hope not.
See, the thing is, though, that it the background, like the photo shoot,
says
looks
rivalries and all that.
Very
but
real.
But couldn't someone just make that? Someone
could put the rivalry series in the background.
Yeah.
They could, I guess. Yeah.
It's just the Dolphins jerseys that are on the internet. You just go to Twitter and search like Dolphins rivalries uniforms. You'll see them. It's the closest thing we've got to a leak. And it's Miami, so I don't want to get too bent out of shape. But if that is really them, then I'm already disappointed the entire series because it's just a black jersey with the Dolphins colors. It's not any sort of next level. It's not any sort of creative idea. It's we went with black.
I will say that I guess that does kind of line up with what their teaser video
how
looked
they
like.
They went with like water in the ocean, and what is it, a fish tank?
Well, the logo, numbers. Like, you know how there was that gray logo at the end of the Bills video, the silver logo with the blue outline that like made it like we saw the logo, right?
Yeah.
The Dolphins logo that was at the end of that video looks like what that jersey
that's
is
right.
that we just saw.
That's right. It's like a black. It's like a negative-based kind of.
Negative-based, yeah.
Here's the other thing.
I mean, I don't know what the theme is, if there even is one, of like
Oh, you know, the theme
what
is
it's supposed
the,
to be.
The theme
but...
is Miami Nights, is what it is.
Miami Nights?
Miami Nights.
What is
and
that?
The idea
just
that
nighttime
the
in Miami?
The night scene in Miami is a big deal.
Okay, you know. Right.
I look to see when they're going to wear them, and they wear them Monday, September 29th in a home game against the Jets.
Right.
This might be a stupid thing to think about, but Miami is not wearing black uniforms at home at 1 o'clock, right? I mean, I know they're in the shade, but maybe yeah. that's a part of this, is Miami's never been able to wear a black jersey just because they're in the sun all the time.
Right, they've got to wear a lighter color.
Hey, we're going to wear a black jersey. Like, okay, all right, I guess so. I think it's already...
It's definitely disappointing. That is disappointing.
It's a disappointing.
Hey, if one team's going to have the disappointing one, the Dolphins having it would be kind of funny, though.
I'm into that, too. Right, yeah. We've got the Bills are probably going to be white. Are they going to be white or snow or white. Glacier white, blue, whatever? Yeah. Like, they're going to be a snow, ice kind of theme. That's the idea we get from the teasers. The Jets is about a swamp. Maybe theirs are blackish and dark green. Yeah, the Jets are about a swamp.
I didn't know that theirs was about a swamp.
A little bit about a swamp from what I've watched the teaser.
What's the – I'd seen the Arizona teaser, the New England teaser, the Bills teaser. What's the swamp connection? Oh, because they're in
New
Jersey?
New York is a swamp, yeah.
Or New York is a swamp?
Yeah. Well. So, whatever. The Patriots is about nor'easters, wind and rain and
– Arizona's sandstorms, yeah. Kind of.
The Seattle Seahawks
I'm
are about
expecting Arizona's, Arizona's to be the coolest. That is the team I would bet on being the coolest of yeah. the eight.
Well, we'll see. It all happens at 10 o'clock this morning. Sal's going to be here for the Extra Point Show. He has invited us in to give a quick review, so we'll do that. That's coming up at 10. Along the way today, at 7:30, Brian Koziel joins us from Tee to Green on the Ryder Cup. Team selections are out for the Ryder Cup, which is about a month away. Then we'll do Sal at 8, mm-hmm. and then Cody Alexander is going to join us at 8:30. So... if you are a loyal listener to this show, and by that I mean you listen to every minute, and you listened on Tuesday this week when I furiously stumbled to find the guy that wrote the thing about Cole Bishop that I want to tell you about.
Yeah.
That's him. So he can tell us what he was going to talk about with Cole Bishop. Or what he did talk about, what I wanted to bring up
yeah.
about how the Bills call their defense, whether or not they were protecting their safeties last year. And, of course, safety is, again, today a conversation point because the Bills brought back Jordan Poyer. We learned about that in the 9 o'clock hour yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And
how's it sitting with you?
I mean, it's sitting better than it was when we thought he's on the 53, which right. 90% of the freakout was when he's on the 53, this is a terrible idea. Everything has gone wrong. And where it sits now is a slightly more panicked version of Jordan Phillips. For Jordan Phillips, the Bills have many, many answers at defensive tackle, rookies that have showed out pretty well. Mm-hmm. For Poyer, all I want to say is this. Like, you pretty much are unable to push back on any idea that a veteran will help young guys. Mm-hmm. Once that is said, you kind of have to say, like, well, there it is. I guess that's it. Right? Yeah. You're not allowed to argue against it. It's kind of like if you're in an argument about trading somebody and the person you're with says, hey, Gretzky got traded. And you're like, that's correct. Yes, Gretzky got traded. Hey, what about the leadership? Yeah, okay. Yep. Leadership, culture, all that. And Brandon Bean yesterday said they'd been talking with Poyer all the way going back to May. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I guess my question would just be how necessary the leadership really was. Because who is it for? It's for Bishop?
That's the thing.
It's for Bishop when...
It's for everybody in the room.
Yeah.
And Bean said yesterday, if you had five-year veterans who are all pros back there, and they're great, that you'd still want a leader for the position, to which I want to say, like...
Yeah.
Okay. I think... Without...
It just wasn't like a room with four rookie or second-year safeties. You have two guys like that, and then you had three guys, Taylor Rapp, who's a veteran in the league, who's been in the system now into a third year, DeMar Hamlin, who's into a fifth year, Cam Lewis and Hamlin might be into sixth years, actually. No, they'd be fifth years. You just had a room already that had guys like that.
Yeah.
Poyer is longer. Poyer wasn't playing at a higher level, but it was not a room that was filled top to bottom with first and second year players. Yeah. You had two guys out of seven.
It'll be Cam Lewis's sixth year.
Sixth year for Cam Lewis.
6 years on the team.
Right. So, and he was mentioned when, like, oh, he'll help blank in the room and blank in the room. And then you got to mentioning Cam Lewis and Taylor Rapp. And, like, Cam Lewis and Taylor Rapp have been in the league almost as long as, like, Josh Allen's been in the league.
But that's the thing. You can't argue against leadership and culture. It's, there's no really pushback. Not even that I would really dispute it. It's just okay. One of the ways I might want to say this is Poyer's going to be treated as a break glass in case of emergency guy, right?
That's how I see it. Yes.
Okay, break glass in case of emergency. So I want you to picture you break glass in case of emergency, and then right under it says, emergency seems somewhat likely.
Hmm.
Don't we feel that? Doesn't this feel like a move where everybody out there, if you're listening, if you're a Bills fan, you think like they're doing this because they got to get Bishop right. On the one hand, Joe, I would do whatever it takes if I'm the Bills to get Bishop right. I don't know that I buy if Jordan Poyer is going to be the thing that gets him right. He's either going to get it or he's not going to get it. Maybe the veteran leadership of Poyer will help, and Bishop, because he missed time, that's the biggest problem. We've heard that the whole time,
mm-hmm.
right? We haven't heard that there's no one in the room to lead him. There's no one in the room to help him understand. What we've heard from McDermott is it's time on task, that Bishop needs to play, and he and Rapp need to play together. And here's Poyer yesterday, along with Jordan Phillips. They both said they think they have gas left in the tank. And I think...
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new unrivaled league, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Poyer comes here because he thinks he's going to play. And I bet he's going to play. I bet he's going to play. I don't know when he's going to start. I don't think he's going to start against Baltimore. But
well, how many guys do they go through before they would get to him? Is it just Cole Bishop?
I would think...
Because there are other
safeties, but
players in between.
The guy he would have to beat out is Hamlin, who's not exactly an athletic safety.
No,
by like NFL safety standards. So
no, but is he as athletic as Poyer is right now?
It's a great question.
Is the Jordan Hancock hype real at all? Like, is he?
He's hurt.
He was it before the injury. There was some momentum towards like, all right, let's throw his hat in the ring.
Yeah,
and then he got hurt. Right. So like, does he pick up where he left off on that? I mean, so many ideas I feel like are possible at that position. I wouldn't rule out at all, though, that Poyer is an idea. Maybe Hancock is, like, that's not real. Like, the idea that he could actually start. Like, they're not really that close to making that determination. And if they had a big, important game and Bishop wasn't getting the job done and there was an injury at the position somewhere else, like, okay, yeah, let's put Jordan in there. Because they know him and they trust that he knows the system and all of that. So I could see it. I also don't want to go nuts over anything that is on the practice squad.
True.
Right?
I want to agree with that.
Like, I think the fringe who makes the 53-man roster is already, you know, it's not really that. Like, whether Tyrell Shavers was on the team or not isn't that impactful to what happens this season.
Right.
And now I'm going beyond the 53 players. I'm going to, like, the 60th player.
Well, to that point, what did Sal say with us yesterday? It's possible to bring him on the practice squad as an onboarding process.
To eventually be,
to be on the active roster. Because, say it this way, what if he had come to camp and made the roster? What would we think? Uh-oh?
Their safety room is in
worse than we
thought. Yeah.
Yeah, worse than we thought. And I don't know, maybe Poyer can find a fountain of youth. I put up a Twitter poll about this. How do you feel about, what's your take on the Jordan Poyer addition to the practice squad and what it means for the safety room? And I put three options in there. Good to have, somewhat concerning, or both.
Because
I think it can be both, right? This is one of those things where two things can be true. You want to sell me on Poyer and his leadership and his culture? All right. They just did that with Micah Hyde. Mm-hmm. And that was, what, November when that happened? November, December?
Yeah, it was November. Yeah.
So that's late in the season. The Bills are already good. They're bringing him in for a veteran. And I think we all said, like, good idea. Sounds great. Who cares? Like, you're going to go back there and see if you can get any help. I don't know if they did. It's the kind of thing that it's hard to get tangible proof that it helped or tangible proof that it didn't.
Mm-hmm.
It's just this, you know, ethereal kind of, it's culture. All right. Well, the Bills are pretty good at that. So they, I would want to say, know what they're doing in that department. And Poyer will come in and give them a boost there. But I don't know. Maybe it's just my knee-jerk, the way a lot of people knee-jerked about Jordan Phillips, and we talked about that earlier in the week, where it's my knee-jerk where I am worried about the safety room. I'm really worried about it. And
yeah,
am I worried it's going to stop them from winning the division? No. I'm worried that when we get to a game in January against an elite offense like Baltimore,
mm-hmm.
like if they're playing the Bills, which they don't have to play the Bills, which is good news, if they're against Cincinnati,
mm-hmm.
I'm worried. I'm worried about a fatal flaw in what they built. They spent so much. Think about what they did to their defense. They spent a lot on the defensive line. They spent their biggest asset at corner and drafted other corners. And what do they do at safety? Like, not anything. Very, very little.
They trusted in Bishop.
They trusted Bishop.
They
brought back Hamlin, and they added Derek Forrest. Like, their safety room coming into this season would have been the most bargain basement safety room you could get outside of a second-round pick not exactly being bargain basement. He's, you know, in investment. Mm-hmm. But when we were going back talking about Taylor Rapp, like, Rapp is on a 3-year, $10 million deal. That's very low safety money. They like him. That's great. But it's just been a position that, over time, mm-hmm. has been really important to McDermott, and here he is, kind of again, trying to piecemeal it together. And it all happened on the same day, and this might be, you know, 2 points I'm connecting that aren't exactly connected. It all happens on the same day the Ravens give Kyle Hamilton $25 million a year.
Yeah.
So one of my main competitors is potentially elite at the position that I think for this defense is important. And this team, you know, you got to pick one or the other. I get that. I hear like Brandon Bean, you can't do everything. I know. I'm just worried about it. I'm worried about the position. I have been all year. When Joe Marino did his Lockdown podcast of the 10 most important bills, I listed Cole Bishop sixth because I think it's important what happens at that position.
Yeah.
And Poyer coming in, I'm not telling you that it's bad. He's on the practice squad, not on the 53. I think he will be on the 53. At some point, I think you will be elevated to play. I think you will play games. And I think that position is scary.
Well, really what that is then, that is just a strict bet against Bishop in the first place, right? Like the idea that he will start week one, and what do we think will happen? At some point during the year, it'll be so obvious that it's going poor that we think like Sean McDermott's going to open a week, like a practice week, and announce like Bishop's not the starter anymore.
It's
like, is that how they would do it?
There's also Bishop gets hurt. He gets hurt a lot.
He doesn't get hurt a lot.
He gets hurt a lot.
Yeah.
So
he might do it for him.
Right.
Yeah.
This is also partially like Derek Forrest. I know this sounds kind of maybe stupid, which, you know, it wouldn't be my first ever stupid take. When they signed Derek Forrest, the guy that had started in the league, it's kind of maybe counterintuitive to say, if Derek Forrest were the guy in the practice squad, I might feel better because, hey, we signed him. We like what we see. Right now he's going to be behind a couple of guys, but he's here. He started games in the league. He's a young athletic safety that maybe can be groomed the right way. Instead, to go back to a 34-year-old who knows the system, who, you know, is a legend. Like, I almost want to, you know, it's not about Poyer individually, but it kind of is about the fact that I want to just be careful about always going back to vibes. And if you'll allow me to straw man this, you know who else would give them – leadership? Kyle Williams. I don't think he can play. That's a straw man. I understand mm-hmm. that. But it's just at some point, I'm going to run out of just the vibes and all the vibes of everyone coming back. And then again, if he plays well when he gets in, then it's a great story. Or if Bishop kind of finds his way, then it never becomes an issue. But it does have me worried about their safeties, which is not new. So it kind of just highlights the thing I was already worried about a little bit.
It has me worried. How different... And we actually had a caller about this yesterday, didn't we, though? The difference between Tre'Davious White and Jordan Poyer for this? Like,
the difference is that one of them had a good camp by most accounts, and but the other one was touring the world.
I was going to say, because we didn't get to see Poyer at camp. Like, what if Poyer had come in and had a good camp? That actually could have been interesting, too. Like, what would it have sounded like if he didn't, let's say he didn't do that. He didn't go travel to Brazil, wherever he went, and he said, yeah, I'm going to come to camp. But Bean said they'd been talking since May. So he comes to camp, and he looks good. Like, he looks pretty good. What's the story? Is Jordan Poyer going to start week one? Right? Isn't it the exact same as Tre'Davious White?
Yeah.
that he's pushing Cole Bishop right out of the gates. And the name power, I think, is going to always carry a lot of weight for that. Because, I mean, like, again, DeMar Hamlin had a good camp, I think, by most accounts. Like, he was a little bit noticeable, and he looked like a leader out there, but we just saw what that looked like, and he's DeMar Hamlin. Like, we know how good he's been at his best, and it's somebody that you'd like to do better than out there on the field. So it's, okay, well, all right, he had a good camp, cool. I want Bishop to be the one that has a good camp. Poyer has a good camp, and I think maybe some of the same mentality that exists with Tre'Davious White would be there, which is, oh, maybe he refound it. Maybe he touched back end with what he was. I mean, how long has it been since Poyer was great? It's been 3 years,
right?
It's
been 3 years. The difference is, of course, Trey White was kind of cut down by injuries, and Jordan Poyer was what? Kind of just slowed down by age?
That seems to be more of the case. In fact, that last great year he had, I think he was injured all year.
Poyer.
The elbow, right? I mean, it's not the same as...
He had the elbow.
Trey White also, got knee problems and Achilles, but...
He also drove 15 hours to play in the game in Kansas City with a punctured lung.
Right, right.
He's...
That's the 22 season. He made a Pro Bowl that year, and he did miss four games season.
He was first-team All-Pro. I mean, he's a legend. He's going on the new wall whenever they put it up.
That was the only season he missed a game in for the Bills. Well, there were 17 games. He played 16 games every year for the Bills except for that one where he played 12. So I think the name is going to carry a lot of weight, and I don't know what he would have looked like at training camp. Maybe he would have looked good, especially in comparison to maybe some of their other safeties too.
803-0550-1-888-550-2550. Jeremy and Joe, lots to get to today. Ryder Cup, Bill stuff. We got to tell you about the stadium. We went on a tour of the stadium yesterday, so I'll give you the latest on what it's like inside the new Highmark Stadium, from the press box to the field level to, you know, the locker rooms, all of it. We walked through the stadium yesterday, so thanks to the Bills for taking us on that tour. It was great. We both stood in our seats.
We did.
Where our seats are going to be.
Not far away.
That's right. We can we could throw a beer to each other if we needed to.
A toss, even, you might say. Not even a throw.
It'd have to be close. A toss. You wouldn't want to throw an open beer. That'd be bad.
That would be terrible.
You could put. Yeah. You know what? I think we're close enough where you could put like one of those plastic cups with a top on it for the beer. I think we could throw that and make that happen. We could participate in a water balloon toss. We're close enough for that.
A water balloon toss.
We could maybe even throw an egg.
I agree with that.
Could you throw an egg? I think you can throw an egg back and forth and not break it.
Across 20 seats?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Gotta have good hands for that.
That's a 10-yard egg throw?
Yeah.
15-yard egg throw?
Yeah, trust your hands. You're fine. Guinness Book of World Records.
The longest egg throw.
Longest egg throw in a stadium.
The longest egg throw. It's got to be there. Okay, the farthest distance to throw and catch an egg. Got that for you next.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.